Gargamuni, who was the family priest of the Jadus, disclosed that actually Vasudev requested him to come to the house of Nanda Maharaj and perform the name-giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram. So at that time Nanda Maharaj considered that if Gargamuni performs a name-giving ceremony, then Kamsa will, if Kamsa gets to know about it, which he would, then Kamsa would suspect that this Krishna and Balaram are his sons. Of course, everyone knew that Balaram is Vasudev's son, but nobody knew that Balaram is Vasudev's son through Devaki. Everyone knew that he is the son of Rohini, who was another wife of Vasudev. But Krishna, nobody knew. Besides Vasudev, nobody knew that Krishna is his son. Even Nanda Maharaj did not know. Now, in this respect, there is another very interesting anecdote, any very interesting episode that has been revealed by the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, these are the principal Goswamis of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sri Jiva Goswami. These are known as the Sat Goswamis or six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So, they revealed one very interesting factor. That is, the scripture says that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He doesn't even take one step out of Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityajya kutra kadapi na gacchati. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And also, time and time again it has been pointed out, Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj, son of Yashoda, Nanda Nandan, Rajendra Nandan, Yashoda Nandan, these are indicating that Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So, the Goswamis reveal that actually Mother Yashoda gave birth to a son and a daughter. Mother Yashoda didn't give birth just to a daughter. She gave birth to a twin. A son and a daughter. And when Vasudev brought Krishna, Vasudev Krishna, to the house of Nanda Maharaj, to the bed of Yashoda, it was dark and he did not see so clearly. And when he placed Vasudev Krishna, then Vasudev Krishna and Nanda Nandan Krishna became one. Vasudev Krishna merged in the body of Nanda Nandan Krishna. Because this Nanda Nandan Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of God. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead is Nanda Nandan Krishna. Aradha Bhagavan Brajesho Tanay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the son of Nanda Maharaj. And it is emphatically pointing out, Taddhama Vrindavanam, his abode is Vrindavan. And Ramma Kachid Upashana Brajabodhu Bargena Jatam. The way the cowherd girls, the gopis, worship Krishna That is the highest form of worship. So this is the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So Nandanandan Krishna actually is the son of Nanda Maharaj. And he never leaves Vrindavan. So then the question may arise, but Akrura came and took Krishna away to Mathura, and Krishna was away from Vrindavan for so many years. Actually, Krishna never left Vrindavan. When Krishna, in the 40th chapter, it will be described that when Krishna came, Akrura was taking Krishna away to Mathura, when they came to the border of Vrindavan, there is Jamuna. So Krishna went to take bath in Jamuna. So at that time, Akrura saw the forearm form of Krishna. That is the Vasudeva Krishna. Brajendranandan Krishna is two-arm Shyamsundar. Vasudeva Krishna is sometimes two-arm, sometimes four-arm. So when Krishna went to take bath in Jamuna, at that time, the Brajendranandan Krishna went back to Vrindavan. And Vasudeva Krishna came and sat on the chariot. So Akrura took Vasudeva Krishna to Mathura. So who is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead? Nandanandan Krishna. His first expansion is Balarama. And then there is the expansion of Chaturbhuha of Dwarka. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. In Dwarka, Krishna is Vasudev and Balaram is Shankarshan. Then there are two more expansions of Chaturbhuha, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So anyway, so Nanda Maharaj thought that Krishna is his son, and actually Krishna was his son. Krishna is Nanda Maharaj's son. But sometimes Nanda Maharaj had the feeling, maybe he is not my son. There is a very famous song by Surdas, Main Nahi Makhan Khayo. Mother Yashoda accused Krishna of stealing butter. And Krishna came on giving the reasons why he couldn't steal butter. He said, from morning till evening, I was tending the cows. So where is the time for stealing butter? And in this way, he gave various reasons why he couldn't have stolen butter. And then finally, Krishna told Mother Yashoda that because I am not your son, you are treating me like this. At that time, Mother Yashoda's heart just broke and she just embraced Krishna and started to weep. And at that time, what did Krishna say? Maya Mori, main nahi makhan khaya. Yes, I have stolen the butter. So, through different scriptures, it comes out like that sometimes there's a feeling that Krishna is not their son. Just as gopis also mentioned in Gopi Gita, Nakhalu Gopika Nandano Bhava. You are not the son of Mother Yashoda, Gopi. You are the super soul of everyone's heart. So Krishna, in this way, performing his pastime in Vrindavan. So Garga Muni came to give the name-giving ceremony. So at that time, Nanda Maharaj thought that if it is publicly performed, the name-giving ceremony, then Kamsa may suspect that this Krishna is Vasudev's son and he may cause him harm. So therefore, they decided to have this name-giving ceremony very secretly performed. Only very, very few intimate relatives were there. The name-giving ceremony was conducted in the Goshala of Nanda. And Garbhamuni gave the name to Balaram. Balaram, Balabhadra and Shankarsha. And he gave Krishna the name Krishna. And while giving the name, Garbhamuni mentioned that this personality appears in three other ages in three different colors. Ashan Varnas Trayahisha Krinnato Anujubam Tanu. Anujubam, according to different ages, he assumes his form. Sheta Rakta Statha Pita. Sometimes he assumes the form white, Shweta, Rakta, red, Pita, molten golden. And Idanim Krishna Tangata. Now he has assumed the form which is like the monsoon cloud, the color of the monsoon cloud. Krishna Tangata, Shyamsunda. In this way he named Krishna, and which also means the one who is all attractive. Krishna, Parshati Iti Krishna. He is the source of all living entities, therefore all living entities are naturally attracted towards him. When they become properly exposed to him, there is no way of avoiding that. So, in this way, Krishna's name-giving ceremony was executed. That was the 8th chapter of the 10th canto. The 9th chapter of the 10th canto describes Krishna's Damodar Leela. This Leela everybody knows. For one full month, we meditate on Krishna's Damodar Leela, Damodar Master. During the month of Damodar, which will be beginning in the middle of October, next month. Krishna is very naughty. As a child, he was very naughty. And one of his very favorite naughty activity was to steal butter. Mother Yashoda used to make butter. There are so many cows. Now cow's milk cannot be preserved. Therefore, what the cowherd people do? The cowherd people take the cow and they churn butter out of it. They make it into yogurt, dahi, and from dahi they churn out the butter. And this butter can be preserved for a longer time, especially when it is heated and made into ghee. So different times, the cowherd people, they are just engaged in making sweets and all kinds of milk products. Sweets, yogurt, butter, ghee. And butter is one thing that was very dear to Krishna. Krishna was very fond of butter. So Krishna would steal butter. Not only from Mother Yashoda's house, Krishna would also go to other gopis' house and steal butter. And not only steal butter, Krishna would not only steal butter and eat the butter, he would distribute the butter to his friend, to his friends. When his friends would become full from eating butter, then Krishna would distribute the butter to the monkeys. When the monkeys also would become full and would not want to take any more butter, Krishna would say that this butter is so bad that even the monkeys don't want to eat it. Saying that, Krishna would break the butter pots. And Krishna would stop at that. Krishna would wake up the sleeping child of the gopi by pinching. And when the child would start to cry, Krishna and his friends would run out of the house. So this was one of Krishna's favorite pastimes. So sometimes the gopis would come and complain to Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda would wonder that why does Krishna steal butter? Because in my house there is so much butter. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. So, why should Krishna steal butter? So Mother Yashoda thought that maybe my butter is not so tasty. Therefore Krishna goes to other houses to steal butter. So Mother Yashoda decided that she would make the best possible butter. She selected the best cows. She fed the cows with the best grass. And she collected the milk from those cows. And she thought that she would make the best butter out of it. So one day, Mother Yashoda was churning the butter. And Krishna came, and Krishna told Mother Yashoda that he wanted to drink her milk, breast milk. So Mother Yashoda started to feed Krishna, and Krishna was very happily drinking his mother's milk. And then all of a sudden Mother Yashoda remembered that the milk was boiling on the oven. And she was worried that now it'll start to overflow. As soon as she remembered that, she took Krishna away, put him aside, and she ran to add in the milk that was boiling in the fire. And Krishna felt very bad that he was so happily drinking his mother's milk, and now see the way his mother treated him. And that is also just to attend the milk. What's so important about that milk? And Krishna considered, this milk is actually for me also. She was attending that milk, which was meant for my sake. So Krishna felt so bad, Krishna felt so hurt, that first he cried for some time. Now these are the wonderful things about Krishna's past. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is crying because his mother neglected him. So first Krishna cried for some time. And then he thought, then he became very angry. Why did she do that? So he picked up a piece of stone, and there was a pot of butter, and he just broke that pot with that stone. And the whole room became filled with, scattered with butter from the pot. Then Krishna went to the next room, where the butter was kept, hanging from, in pots hanging from the rafter. So Krishna went there, and they were quite high up, and Krishna was a little boy, so Krishna took the mortar that they use for grinding grains, and he turned the mortar upside down, and he climbed onto the mortar. And he took the pots of butter, and he started to eat the butter, and feed the monkeys, and broke the pots. And in the meantime, Mother Yashoda came back from the kitchen, and she saw that room was filled with scattered butter and the broken clay pots. So she thought that this must be the doing of Krishna. But she couldn't find Krishna, so she picked up the stick and she went to the next room. And at that time, Krishna was stealing the butter from the climbing onto the mortar. And when he saw that Mother Yashoda is coming, Krishna jumped out of the mortar and ran. Yashoda bhi alukhalad dhavamana. Seeing Mother Yashoda, Krishna jumped out of the mortar. Udukhalad. Yashoda bhi udukhalad alukhalad dhavamana. He ran. And Mother Yashoda also ran after him. But Krishna was running very fast, so Mother Yashoda couldn't catch him. And she had a little heavy body because of her heavy waist. And so Mother Yashoda couldn't run so fast. But Krishna was running very fast, so Mother Yashoda couldn't catch him. So then finally Krishna allowed Mother Yashoda to catch him. Paramrishtamattanta tatotrutyabhutya. So Mother Yashoda caught Krishna. And seeing the stick in his mother's hand, Krishna became afraid. Rudantam muhur netram jugmam mrijantam karam bhoja jugmena shatanka netram. Shatanka netram, Krishna's eyes were full of fear. Seeing Mother Yashoda with a stick in her hand. And he started to cry. And with the back of his hand, he started to wipe his tears. Then Mother Yashoda thought that it is not good for the child's psychology to be afraid like that. So Mother Yashoda dropped the stick. But at the same time, Mother Yashoda considered that the child must be taught a lesson, he must be disciplined, because he is being so naughty if we don't rectify him. So Mother Yashoda is treating Krishna just like her own little son. How old was Krishna at that time? Krishna was about 4 years old. So then Mother Yashoda tried to tie Krishna up. She got a piece of rope and she tried to tie Krishna. But she found the rope to be two fingers too short. About 1 inch too short. So Mother Yashoda got some more rope. But she found that rope also is two fingers too short. She got more ropes to tie Krishna. That also was 1 inch too short. In this way she became very exhausted. She was perspiring with this effort to tie Krishna up. Then finally Krishna felt, oh, my mother became so tired. Let me allow her to be bound by my mother. So Krishna allowed Mother Yashoda to tie him up, and then Mother Yashoda tied Krishna up to the mortar, same mortar on which Krishna was climbing to steal the butter. And tying Krishna up, little boy, and Mother Yashoda thought this will be, teach him a right lesson. You be naughty and this will be the punishment. So Mother Yashoda then went to attend her household chores, household activities. And Krishna thought, okay, my mother tied me up to the mortar. Okay, now let me also play a game. So Krishna pulled the mortar and the mortar fell. And Krishna started to drag the mortar that was tied to his belly with a rope. And Krishna started to roam around here and there. Now in Yashoda, in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard, there are two very huge Jamalarjun trees. Twin Jamalarjun trees. Twin Arjun trees. And so Krishna crawled through the trees. Krishna went through, but the mortar was stuck. So Krishna pulled, and then both the trees got uprooted and fell with a tremendous noise. So everyone came out running. What happened? What happened? And Mother Yashoda was in acute anxiety. What happened to Krishna? Did he get hurt by the falling of the tree? But then all of them found, to their great amazement, that the two trees fell. These two trees were practically had one root. They were so close that it seemed like from the ground these two trees are coming up together. And it, both of them fell simultaneously. And they found that Krishna is in between those two trees. Nanda Maharaj also came out running and he immediately released Krishna. He even chastised Mother Yashoda. Why did you tie up this boy like that? If anything happened to him today? And they were wondering that how did the tree fall? These trees, two trees have been standing there for so many years. And they are so huge. And there was no wind, there was no storm, there was no visible reason for the trees to fall like that. And the little boys who were there watching Krishna's funful pastimes, they said that the trees were got uprooted because the mortar was stuck between the trees, and when Krishna pulled, then the trees fell. And not only the trees fell, when these two trees fell, two demigods appeared there, came out of those two trees. And they started to offer prayers to Krishna with folded hands. And then they just went back to the heavenly realm. Some of the cowherd people believed that description. Some did not believe. They said, well, these children are just fabricating some stories. Now, who are these two trees? These two trees are actually two sons of Kuvera. Nala Kuvera and Mani Kuvera. Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. All the demigods' wealth is, the custodian for all the wealth of the demigods is Kuvera. So you can well imagine how wealthy Kuvera is. And these Kuvera's two sons became quite arrogant and puffed up because of their father's wealth. And they became very arrogant, and they became very much involved in reckless sensuous activities. So one day they were bathing in Jamuna with the celestial damsels, the offsaras, while Narad Muni just happened to come by. When Narad Muni came, all the girls, they quickly covered themselves. But Narad Kuber and Manigri were so intoxicated that they did not even have any sense of shame. So they just stood there naked, shamelessly, in front of Narad Muni. So Narad Muni, to teach them a lesson, cursed them that you will become trees. Since you are so fond of standing naked, stand naked for many, many years through rain and sun. As one acts, accordingly one gets his next body. Those who are very fond of exposing their bodies, they get the reactions like that. By nature's arrangement, they stand naked, like the trees. So when Nala Kuber and Manigrim got to know about that, they came and fell at Narad Muni's feet and begged forgiveness. But Narad Muni said, look, the words that have come out of my mouth is bound to come true. But you will be born as trees in the house of Nanda Maharaj, in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And then when Krishna will come to perform his pastime, then he'll be delivered by him. So to fulfill this promise of Narad Muni, Krishna performed his Damodar. Kuberatma jo baddha muttai vajadvat taya mochito bhakti bhajo. So Satyavrata Muni is praying, just that, just the way you delivered two sons of Kubera, please deliver me also in the same way from this material bondage. Taya mochito bhakti, and give me the pure devotion to your lotus. So this is how Krishna performed his Damodar Leela, to give pleasure to his devotees and to fulfill the promise of his devotee Narada. And so after Damodar Leela, Krishna performed various childhood pastimes. Some of the important pastimes are, one very beautiful pastime is that little Krishna one day saw that one fruit vendor is passing by, announcing that she is carrying the most delicious fruits. So Krishna saw the elders in the family. Those days there was no currency, no rupees or rupiah or dollars, no bills. They used to barter, change things from one thing for the other. So, generally, the elder members of the family sometimes would have some barter, like they needed some fruit. So, say fruit vendor came, and they would give the fruit vendor some rice or wheat, and the fruit vendor would give them fruits. So, imitating that activity, Krishna also took some grains in his hands and called the fruit vendor, Falwali. And he wanted to have some fruits in exchange of the grains. But by the time Krishna was bringing the grain, most of the grains fell out of his hand. But the fruit vendor, Falwali, was so impressed and her heart became so filled with affection for this little child that she offered all the fruit he wanted. So with his little hands, Krishna took as many fruits as he could take. But then the fruit vendor noticed that her whole basket became filled with most precious gems and jewels. So this is how Krishna reciprocates. When you offer something to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates in this way. We give Krishna some fruit or some sweets. But in exchange, what did Krishna give to the follower? Apparently, he gave some rice to barter, which practically amounted to nothing to that follower. But Krishna reciprocated by filling her basket with most precious jewels. So in this way, overnight, by receiving Krishna's mercy, this Falwali became a millionaire. She actually became a queen. Not only this is what happened, some Purana describes that when this woman, she was an aboriginous woman, when she went home, she found that her home turned into a palace. Just like Sudama Vipra. You remember that pastime of Sudama? Sudama went to see Krishna. Because his wife told him that, oh, you always talk about your friend Krishna, who is a king in Dwarka. And you are so poor. So why don't you go and ask for some money from your friend? So Sudama thought that, well, I don't want to ask Krishna for any money. But still, this is a good opportunity to go and meet Krishna. So Sudama went and met Krishna. Now, as a custom, Sudama took is something that one has to take when one is going to meet someone. So Sudama took some cheap rice. Chira. Tied up in his the corner of his dhoti. Chada. But when Sudama came and saw Krishna's opulence, he thought, how can I offer this cheap rice to Krishna? But Krishna, who is the super soul of everyone, Krishna told Sudama, hey Sudama, did you bring something for me? Then quite shy, embarrassed, Sudama said, yes, I got something for you. I could bring only some cheap rice for you. So Krishna said, oh, cheap rice? For so many years I didn't eat cheap rice. Please give me the cheap rice. And Krishna took one mouthful, two mouthfuls. When he was about to take three mouthfuls of cheap rice, Rukmini Devi stopped Krishna. Said, because you have taken this two handful of rice, I have become sold out to your friend. If you take any more, I won't be able to give it. Repay him accordingly. After meeting Krishna, when Sudama went back to his house, he couldn't find his house. That small hut that he used to live is not there to be seen. He felt, did I come to any wrong place? Instead of that, he found there was a big palace. And his wife came out, dressed up like a queen, attended by so many maid servants. So this is how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees' offerings. So that is why this pastime with this fruit vendor is so wonderful. When Krishna was 5 years old, he was given the charge to take care of the calves. Now Krishna is 5 years old, so he's a cowherd boy, so he must learn how to take care of the cows, how to tend the cows. So he was taking care of the cow. Now they begin with the small calves. Little boys take care of the small calves. So they used to Krishna with his friends of the same age. They would go to take care of the calves, and they would take the calves to the bank of Jamuna, or sometimes at the foothills of Govardhan, where they would graze. So one day, one of Kamsa's associates, his name is Vatsasura, he came assumed the form of a calf. Krishna recognized that that calf, something is wrong with this calf. It's not a real calf. He told Balaram, then Balaram, look, that calf, something fishy about it. So Balaram said, yes, I also noticed. So then, at some point, true to their suspicion, this calf just came, rushing towards Krishna to hit him with his hind legs. But Krishna just grabbed the calf and started to swing the calf over his head and threw it. The calf was dead. And this Vatsasura had another brother whose name was Bakasura. So Bakasura then came. Now all of a sudden Krishna saw on the bank of Jamuna a huge baka bird, a crane, huge crane. And that crane just came towards Krishna and tried to swallow with his huge beaks, just grabbed Krishna. But then, when the bird tried to swallow Krishna, Krishna expanded his body and became so hot that the bird couldn't keep Krishna inside his mouth. It just threw him off. So then Krishna, just with his feet, pressed the lower beak of the bird, and with his hands, he just pulled the upper beak. And in this way, he killed that bird. So in this way, these two demons, Vatsasura and Bakasura, were annihilated, were killed by Krishna. Now, Kamsa was in great anxiety that one after another, these powerful demons are being killed by this little Krishna. So Kamsa had many friends. One of Kamsa's very powerful friends was Aghasura. Aghasura was so powerful that even the demigods couldn't do anything. Not only they couldn't do anything to him, he was so powerful that they would just tremble with fear hearing Aghasura's name. So that Aghasura told Kamsa, Kamsa, I will take care of these two enemies of yours. After all, they are just two little boys, so I will take care. So Aghasura came in the form of a huge python, huge snake. And it was lying on the way that Krishna, along with the cowherd boys, would be going. So the cowherd boys were very excited to see this new cave. They first thought Aghasura was sitting there, lying there with his mouth wide open, and described it looked like his upper jaw was touching the sky. They were so big. And the boys were very excited. Hey Krishna, we found a new cave. We never saw this cave before. So let's go inside. And saying that, they all rushed into the mouth of the snake. Krishna couldn't stop them. Before he could even say anything, they all entered into the mouth of that demon. And the demon was waiting for Krishna to enter, and he thought that as soon as Krishna would enter, he would close his mouth and swallow them. That day was Balaram's birthday. That's why Mother Rohini asked Balaram to stay back at home. So Balaram was not there. So Balaram stayed at home with Mother Rohini, and all the cowherd boys entered into the mouth, and then Krishna started to wonder now what to do. All the cow, these boys have entered in the mouth of Agasura and they are going to die. But these boys were not at all afraid. They had always that conviction that Krishna is there, so no one will be able to harm us. They were not afraid of anything. That is the characteristic of a devotee. A devotee is not afraid of anything because he knows Avashyarokhi by Krishna. Krishna will positively protect me. Krishna will give me protection under all circumstances. So they entered into the mouth of Agasura. So finally, in order to rescue his friends, Krishna also entered into the mouth of Agasura. And then Agasura wanted to swallow Krishna up, but Krishna extended his body. And he became so big that Agasura couldn't swallow him. He got stuck in Agasura's throat. And then Krishna started to emanate heat from his body. And Agasura couldn't throw Krishna out, and this terrible heat he couldn't bear, and he started to writhe in pain. And then finally, Agasura's soul came out from Agasura's forehead, Brahmaram. And when Agasura's soul came out of his body, it hovered and stayed in the space for some time. And then as Krishna came out of Agasura's mouth along with the cowherd boys, then Agasura's soul entered into Krishna's body. Brahma was watching that. And Brahma considered, who is this boy? That he could kill Agasura so easily, whom no demigod could have killed. Agasura was so powerful that even the demigods couldn't kill him. So who is this Agasura? Who is this person? Is he Narayan, my lord? So now Brahma thought, I will just watch him. I'll see who he is actually. So after killing Agasura, Krishna along with the cowherd boys went to the bank of the Jamuna, and there along with the cowherd boys they sat together having a picnic while the calves were grazing in the field. Now looking for some grass, these calves went away to a distance, and the cowherd boys couldn't see him anymore, see the calves anymore. So they became very worried. But Krishna said, no, don't worry. You all have your tiffin. I will go and get the calves. Maybe they have just roamed away to some distance. Now, in the meantime, Brahma was watching. Brahma saw that this boy who just killed Agasura, he is sitting with his friends. Just a little boy, just about 5 years old, sitting with his friend, and they are having their picnic. And some of the boys after eating, if they tasted something that was very, very nice, they would offer it to Krishna. And Krishna very happily would accept their offering. So Brahma thought Narayan would never be like this. Narayan would not take anybody's remnants. So who is this boy? His activities are not like Narayan. Right? He looks like an ordinary human being, just a cowherd boy. But his activities are so wonderful that he surpasses the activities of all the demigods. So who is this? So Brahma thought that he would check it out. So Brahma stole first the calves. And when the cowherd boys couldn't find the calves, then Krishna said, okay, I will go and look for the calves. So while Krishna went to look for the calves, Brahma stole the cowherd boys also. And he took the calves and the cowherd boys in a cave and covered the mouth of the cave. In the meantime, Krishna came back and he found that the cowherd boys are also now missing. The calves are missing, the cowherd boys are missing. Then Krishna realized that this is the action of Brahma. Krishna realized that Brahma is trying to figure out who he was. So Krishna said, okay, Brahma, I'll show you who I am. So Krishna expanded himself into all those cowherd boys and all the calves. And it took Brahma just 1 second, according to his calculation, to keep the cowherd boys and calves in the mountain cave and look around. And that was 1 year, according to human calculation. Bhagavatam is describing that this happened when they were 5 years old, but the cowherd boys were talking about that incident 1 year after, when they were 6 years old. So how is it possible? Why did it happen for 1 year? After 1 year they're describing this incident. So actually what happened, that they looked around, when Brahma looked around, and it took him 1 year, according to our calculation. And Brahma saw that the same calves are grazing in the field, and all those cowherd boys are having a picnic with Krishna in the same way on the bank of Jamuna. And Brahma was completely amazed. And then Brahma saw that all these cowherd boys are actually Narayan. Brahma knew about one Narayan who is his Lord and Master, and here Brahma is seeing hundreds of Narayans in the form of this cowherd. Actually, they all are Narayans, Krishna's expansion. So then Brahma became very ashamed and he came to Krishna and begged forgiveness. And Krishna said, that's all. Actually, all of Krishna's pastime has a very, very specific purpose and meaning. Another reason why Krishna performed these pastimes was that many of the cowherd mothers wanted Krishna to be their son. And many cows also wanted Krishna to be their calf. So they also wanted to have Krishna as their baby. So Krishna knew their heart's desire. Therefore, Krishna performed this pastime, and for 1 year, Krishna fulfilled their desire. And all the cowherd ladies felt that their affection for the children has grown many, many fold during that time. They could understand why is that. And one day, Balaram noticed a very strange incident. The calves were grazing, the cows were grazing on the Govardhan Hill,
and the calves were grazing at the bottom. Now these calves are grown-up calves. Like the cows gave birth to other calves already. These calves that Krishna was grazing, they were the elder group of calves. And all of a sudden, when these cows saw their calves, which were actually grown up, they just rushed, they jumped from top of Govardhan Hill to meet with the calves. So Balaram was surprised that generally cows, when they get new calves, then they lose their attachment to their old calves. Now how come these cows were becoming expressing such attachment to the grown-up calves? So Balaram asked Krishna, "Krishna, what happened? What is the matter?" So Krishna told the incidents with Lord Brahma, and Krishna told that how he actually expanded himself into these calves. So Balaram was the only one who became aware of this wonderful pastime of Krishna. So in this way, Krishna performed his most wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan. And then Brahma, to just add one little anecdote to this, Brahma was very, very upset, very sad. Brahma was very remorseful that he offended his master in such a way. So then Brahma actually decided to perform austerity. And he came here in Navadvip, in Shimantad, in Antad. And there he performed austerity for many, many years. Then Krishna appeared to Brahma, but this was a very strange appearance of Krishna. Krishna's complexion generally is dark like monsoon cloud. But this appearance of Krishna was in molten gold. Molten golden form. So Brahma was very surprised. So Brahma asked, "Who, this form I never seen before." Then Lord told that in Kali Yuga I'll appear in this form. And then Brahma begged Krishna to allow him also to take part in this pastime. And Brahma also requested that because I am Brahma, I often become so arrogant, so proud, so much so that I even offend you. So please allow me to be born in a very low class family. Allow me to have a low birth so that I can be free from all pride." And Krishna blessed him that his desire would be fulfilled. And as a result of that, Brahma appeared as Srila Haridas Thakur, who apparently took birth in a Muslim family. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made him the Namacharya. He came to distribute Naam, holy name of the Lord, and he made Haridas Thakur as the Acharya of that mission. So I will stop here today, and any question? Like we had some questions from the morning. Who has those questions? I thought in the evening I'll sing. I thought I would sing in the evening. During seminar I was singing. Yeah, I think there was a misunderstanding that Adharam Madhuram song copies have been distributed, Madhurashtakam, thinking that I'll sing that song.
but I won't have the time. During the seminar, I would sing songs like that. The idea was that I would sing that in the evening, but in the evening there will be cultural program. So you'll come to the cultural program. And I won't have Kirtan now. Okay, there are quite a few questions, let me see. Kamsa was alarmed that he will be killed by the eighth child of Devaki. Is there any inner significance of eight? Why not nine or ten? I'm sorry, I don't know. What is the inner significance of Krishna being the eighth son? Wife of Bali Maharaj took birth of Asura Putana, even she got darshan of Vamanadev on her husband, when her husband performed such a great sacrifice. Well, like Krishna fulfills one's desire. She wanted to breastfeed Krishna like a baby, and at the same time she wanted to kill Krishna by giving him poison. So, in order to fulfill that desire, Krishna allowed her to appear as Putana, or we must say that Jogamaya arranged for her to be born as Putana, fulfill her desire, and then get spiritual perfection in the spiritual desire. The next question is that you say that the movement of love is not straight, but like a movement of a snake. Please explain it. The point here is that love becomes more intense when there is obstacle. When there is no obstacle, then even love affair becomes boring. So, that's why the real love is made with obstacle, and as it gets the resistance or obstructions, obstacles, then the desire to meet, desire to unite becomes even stronger. Otherwise, if the lover and beloved, there is no obstacle, if everything is easy and wonderful and honky-dory, then after a little while it will become stale. But when there is obstacle, then it becomes more, the urge to unite becomes stronger. Therefore, actual love affairs always have this obstacle, and that makes it so exciting. Like, look at all love stories in the world. Not only Krishna's love affair, Romeo and Juliet. Was it moving in a straight line? Or there were obstacles? And the more the obstacle, more intent they became. Who is the incarnation for other 999 Dwapar Yugas and for Kali Yuga? The other Dwapar Yugas, it is the Yugavatar Krishna comes, who is an expansion of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And he established Yugadhara. Similarly, in other Kali Yugas also, it is an incarnation that appears, not the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Krishna is merciful to demons also by delivering them and taking them to back to Godhead. So even demons are fortunate. So how come they are against Krishna? Well, they are demons when they are against Krishna. But when they become delivered by Krishna, then they become devotees. When they are against Krishna, only till then they are human. But when they become devotees, when they surrender to Krishna, and we are the examples. We were demons. But by Prabhupada's mercy, we became devotees. Now, we are not demons anymore. We are at least trying to become devotees. Could you please explain the difference between real Golok Vrindavan and Vrindavan revealed in the material world?
Yes.
There is Golok Vrindavan, the spiritual sky, and home of Vrindavan. This extension of Vrindavan in the earth, on the earth planet. So, that is the replica of Vrindavan. Like Prabhupada gave the example, like the embassy. Like there is an US embassy in Delhi. Delhi is in India, but the US embassy, although in India, it is United States of America. When you step into the US embassy, although in Delhi, you are not in Delhi, you are not in India, you are in the United States. So similarly, there are embassies of the spiritual sky in the material nature, material world, and those embassies are the dhams of Krishna. When Krishna comes to perform his pastime, he manifests his pastime in those places. Those places are non-different from the spiritual sky. Like Mayapur, we are sitting here. Is it material nature or spiritual world? You know how, when we'll find out? We'll find that out at the time of annihilation. At the annihilation, at the time of annihilation, the whole material world will be destroyed. But Mayapur will become, will remain unaffected. See, so this is how the extension of the spiritual sky. And when we go to the spiritual sky, we'll find Mayapur there. We'll see that. Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. And Radha Madhav is being worshipped there by Janadivas Prabhu. So next question, please take my humble obeisance. My question is, though the demons wanted to kill Krishna, but he, after killing them, gave his eternal abode. So is it only his causeless mercy to them or something else? So this is how wonderful Krishna is. Even he kills, even if somebody approaches him as an enemy and Krishna kills, they get liberation. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying, Asur Shakol Pailo Charon Vinod Rohilo Bhakti. Even the demons got the shelter of your lotus feet, only Bhakti Vinod Thakur saying that I could not get the shelter. I couldn't read this. Jokhon kono shishu janmo grohon kore, tokhon kannakati kore keno? She kaade bhabe, keno ami ekhane elam? কি দুর্ভাগ্যের ফলে আমার এই দুর্গতি হলো আজকে, এই চরজগতে আমি এসে পড়েছি। That is the spiritual reason, and the material reason is to breathe. One, the baby has to exert himself with a cry, and then only he starts to breathe. If the child doesn't cry, the child will not be able to breathe. Okay, next question. Brahma himself prayed at milk ocean for Lord's appearance. He also prayed Lord in the womb of Devaki. Then how come Brahma forgot that Krishna is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who is now performing his pastimes? Yes, this question is from Ashray Gauranga Prabhu. So, yeah, not only that time, in every day of Brahma, Krishna comes and performs all his pastimes. Still Brahma forgets. This forgetfulness is the arrangement of Jogamaya. Jogamaya makes Brahma forget. Otherwise there won't be any fun. There won't be any room for the same pastime. So as I mentioned, like Jogamaya is like the director, and all the participants of Krishna's pastime, including Krishna himself, are like the actors. Like a good actor, he becomes a role and he plays a role for the specific time and situation. And when he plays the role, he forgets himself. Right? So that is how Krishna's pastimes take place. Jogamaya makes them forget, and they play the role in the most perfect way. They act the role in the most perfect way. Thank you. In Krishna book, Prabhupada didn't mention that Ulokat is a demon, but I heard from some devotee he was a demon. So my question is, Ulokat a demon? And if he is a demon, from where did he come from? Here, it has been described that it was actually a demon who is known as Shakatasura, the cart demon. And he is another associate of Krishna, an associate of Kamsa, who actually came to harm Krishna and got killed in the course of time. And as Mother Jashomati pointed out, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Krishna Samhita, mentioned that different demons are actually different anarthas in our hearts. And this Shakatasura is what demon she is? Anyway, she is one of the anarthas. Bhagavad Gita, spoken by whom? Brajendranandan Krishna or Vasudev Krishna? Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Vasudev Krishna. Brajendranandan Krishna is always in Vrindavan and he performs his Vrindavan. It is the Vasudev Krishna who goes to Mathura and then to Dwarka, and then this from Dwarka he went to Kurukshetra to become the charioteer of Krishna, of Arjuna. If by Vasudev Krishna, then Krishna is told that Vrishninam I am Vasudev. Yes, Vrishni means among the Jodus, Krishna is, that he is Vasudev. So he is the Vasudev Krishna. We know that Asuras are actually devotees, taking the part of demons for satisfying Krishna's desire to fight. How can we understand that Krishna take pleasure in fighting with his devotees, killing them and making them suffer? It doesn't seem to be an expression of love. Well, if we take Krishna's pastime as a drama, now in drama the roles are played by different
actors and actresses.
Similarly, these pastimes of Krishna, like a drama being enacted by different actors and actresses. Like when a king organizes a drama, who the king will select to play in the drama? His own people, isn't it? But in the drama there is a villain. Now he is playing the role of a villain on the stage, but off the stage is a friend. So similarly, in Krishna's pastime, not all the demons, but many demons are actually Krishna's devotees. Like for example, two principal demons, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Shishupal, Dantavakra, Ravan, Kumbhakarna. Who are they? The two gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijaya. And the thing is, the fight, although Krishna is fighting, but in order to, you can't fight with a friend. Therefore, even the friend when he's fighting, he has to become your opponent. It happens in Vrindavan, Krishna plays the pastime with his friend, the wrestling bout, and we'll come to Pralambasura's episodes. Two groups, Balaram's group, Krishna's group, they're fighting with each other. So when they're fighting, although they're friends, they're fighting. They're fighting to win. So this is Krishna's pastime. The incarnations of Krishna in the color red and white, who are they? In white, it is Hamsavatar or Shukla, who appears in Satyayuga to establish the Yuga Dharma of air. And as Rakta, he appears in Treta Yuga to establish the Yuga Dharma of Yajna. So, and also please explain, if they are Nandanandan Krishna or Vasudev Krishna, then neither Nandanandan Krishna or Vasudev Krishna, but incarnation of Shirodakshaya Vishnu, who is an expansion of Vasudev. Like the expansions take place in this way. Krishna's first expansion is Balaram. Balaram expands into Chaturbhuha, Vasudev Shankarshan Pratumna Anuruddha of Dwarka. Then there is expansion of Vaikuntha, Vasudev Shankarshan Pratipradumna Aniruddha. Then from this Shankarshan of Vaikuntha expands Mahavishnu. Then from Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu to Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And the incarnations are generally an expansion of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. But at the same time, there is no difference. No difference. Simultaneously, one and different. Achinta, Bhed, and Abhed. What is the difference between Krishna Loka and Gaur Dham? In Golo, there are two chambers. In the spirit, the geography of the spiritual sky is like this. Beyond Viraja, the causal ocean, is Brahma Jyoti. Beyond Brahma Jyoti or in Brahma Jyoti in the spiritual sky, there are innumerable Vaikuntha Loka. The topmost region of Vaikuntha is Ayodhya. Beyond Ayodhya is Dwarka, Mathura and Vrindavan. And that region, the topmost region, is known as Golok. Now Golok has two chambers. Golok, one chamber of Golok is Vrindavan, and there is another chamber of Golok is Navadvip. In Vrindavan, Krishna is relishing the most intimate loving exchange with his devotees. He is relishing Braja Prem. Prem.
And in Navadvip, that same Krishna, as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributing that opulence. What Krishna is relishing in Vrindavan with Srimati Radharani, becoming one with Radharani, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is distributing that grain. Namo Mahavadanaya, Krishna Prema Pradaya. Krishna Prema Pradaya. He's distributing this Krishna Prema. And that is the reason of knowledge.
My question is, after returning to Braja, where did Nandanandan Krishna go? As Jasoda, Maya and the gopis were looking for him, Krishna comes back to Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan. Akrura came to take him and everybody thought that Akrura took Krishna away. But Krishna didn't go, Krishna came back. And Krishna was dealing with the residents of Vrindavan in the same way. But the residents of Vrindavan used to think that they are dreaming. When Krishna, real Krishna came, they thought they were dreaming. And when they were dreaming, they thought that is real Krishna. That is how in Braja they were experiencing this most wonderful loving exchange in a mood of separation during that absence. Because love in separation becomes even more relishing. Bangla Krishna Ashi, Pongsho Agen Janme Kechi. এর আগের জন্মে কংস ছিল কালদেবী। কালদেবী হচ্ছে হিরণ্যাক্ষের ছেলে। ওই কালদেবী কংস হয়ে জন্ম। কংস যে হত্যা করেছিল ছটা ছেলে তারা কে ছিল? তারা ছিল ষটগর্ভা। তারা কালদেবীর ছটা ছেলে যারা রাজা হওয়ার জন্য তপস্যা করছিল, সেই জন্য হিরণ্যকশিপু তাদের প্রতি ক্রুদ্ধ হয়ে অভিশাপ দিয়েছিল যে তোমাদের বাবার হাতে তোমাদের মৃত্যু হবে। তাই জন্য কালদেবী এলো কংস হয়ে, আর এই ষটগর্ভারা কংসের ছেলে হয়ে এলো, আর তার বসুদেবের ছেলে হয়ে এলো এবং কংস তাদের। Hare Krishna, all glories to you.